My guests on Simply Folk are Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson, longtime songwriters and folk singers who are partners both on stage and off. Steve's songs have been covered by John Denver, Garth Brooks, and Josh Ritter, among others, and he's also written music for film scores and for Disney characters to sing. And Cindy is also a songwriter and interpreter of traditional ballads, among others, and she plays guitar, banjo, concertina, and mountain dulcimer, and is well known for collaborating, especially with other women. Steve and Cindy are based in Vermont, but they tour nationally and beyond, and they have been favorites on Simply Folk for years. And between the two of them, we have over 20 CDs in the WPR Music Library. Welcome, Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson.
Oh, it sounds like time to retire, doesn't it?
No. 20 CDs. But thank you, Stephanie. It's very nice to be with you.
Don't test us on all those, all those songs.
Well, it was interesting. I know of you two as a duo, and I was looking to see what we have in the collection, and if I just search by Gillette, then I get a whole bunch. If I just search by Mangson, I get a whole bunch, and then all of the collaborations, and so it really added up.
Yeah. So glad we're not lost in that great, I mean, you have thousands of CDs.
We try to work well with others.
Well, you obviously do that, and you both have very long histories. And Cindy, in fact, you mentioned to me in an email correspondence that you thought you had been here at WPR maybe in the late 70s, right when Simply Folk was getting started, which was in the late 70s.
Yeah. And that's when I was getting started, too, in Chicago. So I would come up to play at the old Green Dragon or for Mad Folk or Wild Hog, one of those. You know.
Oh,
and
nice.
So Tom Martin Erickson and Judy Rose, yeah.
And Tom probably recorded many of your concerts.
Yeah.
And Green Dragon's no longer here, but
Wild
Hog
good
is
memories.
Going
yeah.
strong. Yep. Yeah. Well, how did you get started as a musician, Cindy?
My family's pretty musical. My dad's very musical as a hobby, and he always sang in choirs and things like that. And my sister ended up becoming a harpsichordist and musicologist, and I was the black sheep. So, so here I am, a folk singer. I joined the Columbia Record Club. My stock story is I joined the Columbia Record Club, and you got 6 free LPs, and I ran out of show tunes, so I went to Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I was hooked. Story songs, that was the key.
The story songs and the harmonies are just wonderful, and you two sing beautiful harmonies together. Well, why don't we hear a song right away, and then I'll talk to you about your background.
We're talking about finding songs in other places, not just our own. This is one we learned from our friend Doug Johnson, who's a very fine California songwriter. Song about a terrible forest fire. He knew all about. Ashes in the atmosphere, you can feel the tension and the fear. Grandma's chickens are acting queer. Here we go again. Could be a branch on a high wire catches. Careless kids playing with matches. Dry grass where the lightning flashes. Here we go again. There's a devil in the Santa Ana wind. From the mountain of the sleeping Indian. Grandma calls for kicking gold. She comes on the run, she tears her coat upon the limbs of a creosote. And here we go again. We all pile into a pickup bed with the rolled up rug and the Rhode Island Reds. Adrenaline drumming and someone says, here we go again. There's a devil in the Santa Ana wind. From the mountain of the sleeping Indian. Thank you. great ghost is galloping across the nation of the Kumeyaay, riding on a crimson stallion through a smoky obsidian sky. From Witch Creek to Borrego, he's blotting out the sun. And Hellhole Canyon, the bighorn sheep don't know which way to run. They don't know which way to run. Safe in the desert round Yaki Wells, an old woman fans an abalone shell. Smudging sage and a prayer might heal. Here we go again. Far to the west, conjured clouds bring the rain in sheets and shrouds. And kicking gold, she laughs out loud. Here we go again. There's a devil in the sand and a wind. From the mountain of the sleeping Indian.
And the guitars ring. That's just a gorgeous, gorgeous song.
Nice little room to play guitar in, actually.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, the sound is great. We're in a smaller room than we're normally in. And just to give you the picture, I have Cindy Mangson to my right and Steve Gillette to my left, and I'm in the middle of this glorious guitar sound and harmonies. Oh, it's just a magnificent sound.
You had a great song, though. Actually, he has come to Steve's songwriting workshop in Santa Cruz for the 10 or 11 years we've done it, and we just always look forward to hearing what he's got, because there's songs out of his life, and he's just got a little twist in his manner, and I love his writing.
Mm-hmm. The Santa Ana Winds, the Devil in the Santa Ana Winds, just really evocative writing.
Yeah. It's all California history and native lore, and he's pretty knowledgeable. You know, he's got some character to his writing, which we really appreciate.
Well, Steve, I was going to ask about your musical background. How did you get started?
Well, like Cindy, my family was musical. My dad, especially, he was an attorney, but he loved to play music just for fun. And you come home from the office, and you could just see the care shed off of his shoulders as he played the piano. You know, played all the old 30s repertoire, Fats Waller, Hoagy Carmichael, Amos Behave and Honeysuckle Rose, that kind of thing. And I loved it all my life. I mean, as a two-year-old, I remember just hanging on to the leg of the piano and feeling that resonance and that vibration and the joy, the energy of his playing. So I think that counts a lot for the, the stride rhythmic
thing. Yeah, you got a little bit of a stride
thing
going in the bass there.
Yeah, and, and of course for me, it was a little earlier than Peter Paul Mary. I think the Kingston Trio were the first time that folk music kind of broke through to the popular culture. Before that, I had been drawn to Everly Brothers and Elvis and Johnny Cash.
But that's what they came out of too, really. I mean, the folk,
that's true.
You know, folk tradition,
and
especially Everly.
Tom Dooley, I think, was the one that just broke it open for me to open that door to the Appalachian and the traditional culture. Even though Kingston Trio was very polished and kind of pop, it did bring a lot of people into that music. And then from then you sort of work your way back through to the roots, and the more people like Doc Watson and Chet Atkins. And a lot of it had to do with guitar. But
it's interesting. You kind of start out by listening to things that are more accessible. And then as you get interested, you get deeper and deeper and into the rawer kind of things that you wouldn't respond to immediately.
That's true. Well, and I noticed you mentioned Chet Atkins, and you play with a flat pick, as he's so well known for.
Oh, yes. And also the fingerstyle guitar he was so brilliant in developing fingerstyle arrangements of things. Doc Watson, too. Mm-hmm. We all learned Sitting on Top, all the great old
Sitting on Top of the World.
Top of the World. Yeah. So many great players around that time. Of course, well, the folk music radio kind of exploded then, too, so there was a lot to – I growing up in Los Angeles, there were three or four pretty good radio sources, so it was exciting time to be.
Well, and you mentioned going back to some of the roots music, and Cindy, you go back into some of the really early stuff.
Yeah,
the child
the traditional ballads. Yeah, I just love them, and I'm mostly drawn to the darker ones, usually a ghost or something.
Mm, there's a lot of murder ballads where the ghost comes back.
Yeah,
and
a lot of good ones where the ghost comes back. Yeah,
the Nut Brown
and
sword.
I don't know. Yeah. I just usually look for a ballad that for something about the story or some. Or maybe it's something about the melody will just strike me, and then I'll look through books and find the versions I like and cobble them together into something that feels true for me. And, you know, you sing them over years and years, and they just get more rich.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And that's what folk music is all about, is sort of taking what has come before and making it your own and adding your flavor.
The long chain.
And Cindy's writing especially has kind of grown out from that. I think your songs are more anchored in the traditions and the stories.
Why don't we hear one of your songs?
Yeah, well, this is appropriate. This was a song based on a story told by Bob Copper. The Copper family is a well-known source of music, traditional music in England for many generations. And Bob wrote a wonderful book about his life and this one story about his father, Jim, taking him out for a walk and getting him up in the middle of the night at the solstice time to watch the sun come up. And I just love the story, and I didn't want to let it go, so what can you do? You make a song. Father's name was Jim. I was more than fond of him. He's a man could tell you things you'd want to know. Though it's long and far away, I remember well the day he took me rambling through the fields before the dawn. One midsummer's early morn, he wouldn't say where we were going. He's a man could keep a secret, don't you know. Through the meadow dark and still to the top of Kingston Hill, he took me walking long before the rooster crowed. Jim turned around, lit his pipe, settled down, put an apple in my mouth to hold my tongue. Settled silent on the ground with the twinkling stars around us, and we waited for the coming of the sun. Sky glowed day, put the stars out one by one till the red rim of the sun rose in the gap between the hills so far away. The rustling of the day, we saw the world awaken in the moment when the light and shadow danced. The village at our feet threw off the cloak of night, and we watched it come to life as light advanced. Gone now many years, but I still can hear his voice as he rose to stretch the stiffness from his legs. He stood up and said to me, "Isn't that a sight to see, child? It's a dawning you'll remember all your days. Some things happen only once, some come every day in the journey from the cradle to the grave. But while we live and breathe, such beauty we can see. And I remember still that dawn as clear as day." guitars do ring in here, don't they?
They ring. I don't want to say anything until the ringing is done because it's just beautiful. This is an audiophile's dream to be between these two guitars.
Well, they were almost in tune.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The song's called Sunrise, and that was written by Cindy Mangson, and just a gorgeous song.
And I sent it to Mr. Copper. He died about 5 years ago or so, and he wrote me a lovely letter back, so now that's pressed into the book, you know.
Nice. Well, you two sing in harmony. We've heard that a couple of times now, but your guitars are also playing in harmony with each other and kind of interweaving. And
they get along okay, especially since Steve got a Martin, too, and they're happier talking to each other.
Cindy's guitar is a very sweet instrument. It's a 1942 Martin 0018 and has just a sweet sound.
It's got personality.
It does. And yours is no slouch either.
Mine's almost new, so it's got a little ways
it's
to go.
It's a youngster, but
it's, yeah, we love these guitars.
OM21?
OM21, yeah.
Beautiful Martins. Mm-hmm. And now, how long, you've been married for a while. How long have you been?
25 years
20,
or so.
26?
26, 20, yeah. Just seems
26.
Like 25.
We forget.
Yeah.
Did you meet gigging?
We met at a festival in Rochester, New York called the Golden Link Festival.
It was a big weekend for me. I met Steve, and it was the first performance of Ann Hills and Priscilla Herdman and me. So it was,
wow.
A lot happened that weekend.
Boy, that was a big weekend for you.
I had to go home, go into therapy, you know.
It's a nice little festival, still going on, and we've been back a few times.
Yeah,
and
They had our 25th anniversary there. They made us a cake for in the concert on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Sweet. Yeah. It really is, you know, it's a community and long relationships with people.
Yeah. And so you have been musical partners ever since then?
Yeah, we keep trying. You know, it keeps getting better, and we think there will be some point where somebody should tell us. You know?
Oh.
But it's still fun, and I think we've influenced each other in good ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can both play to our strengths and pick up some more hints along the way, too.
Yeah.
Keeps us honest.
And we're influenced by some good players and good friends, too. We were talking about Lou and Peter Berryman, and we
admire
them so much.
We're in Madison. We're in.
And we did something that nobody really understood. We made a whole album, a tribute album, called Berry Mania, which we thought was a little over the top. And kind of
it is a fabulous album. And you know, the Berrymans are so well loved in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And
As they should be.
And their songs are just remarkable. What a pair. And he is such a wordsmith. And she's just fabulous with the music. And it's worked.
And it was hard to choose. We whittled it down to 14 songs. And it was hard. And there's still a few favorites that didn't make it.
And some newer ones, too, because they're so prolific. They've written three or four since then that we died.
That we envy.
Why couldn't we have heard those before? You know?
But people say, well, why would you do that? And I say, well, because we're old enough to do what we want. And
this is,
that's what we want to do.
You don't have to ask anybody.
We started talking about it as a joke, and then it became more real.
Yeah.
Well, I like your interpretation of the songs. I think it really brings out the words. I mean, of course, they do their own songs beautifully, but it's nice
and
to hear them
joke
differently.
That they send us songs so they learn how to sing them.
Well,
it's not true, but do you want to do one of those?
Let's do one of those. That'd be great. Yeah. Which one are you going to do?
This is one of our current favorites. This one is on the CD of Berry Mania, a song about accepting one's older status, I guess, sort of having an attitude about it.
This has got both a laugh and a tear, which is why I really love this song.
And you've got your concertina out.
Yes, English concertina.
Not as big as Lou's.
Oh no, it's
concert accordion.
The polite version of the accordion.
Right.
I can go into company with this. Yes.
This one's called.
Now everything.
Now everything does.
What's it called? Yeah, that's
now
old age.
Everything does. There's no point in living in the past, they say, even though there is more of it every day. I don't talk too much about what I've been through. Then again, on second thought, I probably do. Love confused me way back when, now everything does.
Swimming made me hungry then. Now everything does. I remember Moonlight Bay the way it was. Used to take my breath away. Now everything does. I'm not saying I'm overwhelmed with future shock. I'm not saying I wish I could reset the clock. I doubt if I would go back 1 year if I could. Then again, on second thought, I probably would. Summer used to go too fast, now everything does. Cowboys rode out of the past, now everything does. I recall my first TV the way it was. Used to look all blurry to me, now everything does. Not saying that anything has changed, you know. Still the same old, only more so, though. And I'm not saying that I'm too old to give a damn. Then again, on second thought, I probably am. Flashlights needed batteries, now everything does. Chow mein came from overseas, now everything does. Bowling had a special shoe, now everything does. Most things made me think of you, now everything does. Most things made me think of you, now everything does.
A song by Lou and Peter Berryman, played by Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson. Now Everything Does. And that's on a CD that is full of Berryman songs, and it's called Berrymania.
It was so fun. I mean, you know, usually you make albums, and there are some very serious and very dark songs, mm-hmm. and but making that was just, I see why they do it all the time.
Well, it lifts you up. I mean, I was looking at Joe Hartke as our engineer today, and I'm looking through the glass at him, and he's cracking up at the lyrics, and I'm laughing, trying to not make any noise on the mic, and yeah, their music really does bring a smile.
It walks the line. You know, there's always a real heart to the songs, and a little bit of a tenderness, a little bit of an edge of
there's
sadness.
There's always some truth. That's the thing. It's not just funny. It's true.
It's true. And they write about social inequality and, you know, issues that are really important. And they do it in a way that's humorous, that kind of lets us accept them.
Yeah. It helps it a little bit.
Sweetness. Yeah.
So Lou and Peter is one of many collaborations that you two do. And Cindy, you especially have worked with a number of female singer-songwriters, Priscilla Herdman and Ann Hills. And that's a collaboration that's been going for a long time.
Yeah, 20 years. Before you know it, it's 20 years.
Is that still ongoing?
We hadn't toured for 5 years, and this November we're going to do 6 or 7 concerts on the East Coast. We're not willing to go out for weeks at a time anymore. And we're also not willing to go out in December when we had some, you know, interesting trips. So we're going to do some things in November.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. So that's
So we're not quite quitting that. You know, we're secretly calling this the, I'll tell you, the not dead yet tour.
Not even close.
They sound lovely. They have that plan.
We do miss the singing together. It's just all the logistics that are hard. And Anne is always way too busy and...
Yeah. But she's another collaborator who works with a lot of different artists.
Yeah, and she's
a
social worker, so she's working 20, 25 hours a week, and
great songwriter and a heart
theater
of gold, so
and,
she won't say no to anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it is fun. And then we did a project with, I've done a couple albums. My favorite albums, actually, are with Anne, and they were called Never Grow Old and Never Grow Up, and they're albums of traditional songs with guest singers, so Steve and Tom Paxton and John Hartford and Gordon Bach.
Yeah.
And oh, it was so, so fun to do that, and I still love Never Grow Old.
We have both of those in the library, and they are wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you not only, as you mentioned, you do some traditional songs, but you do a couple of like Tin Pan Alley type songs, as you were mentioning.
That comes from my dad, I think. Yeah, that era. As a little kid, I was fascinated by the Harlem Renaissance and the great songwriters, the Great American Song Bag, and a lot of the clever. And I made a project where I recorded my dad playing his old stride piano, and I wrote a whole story all around that. And kind of took the listener back to that time. It's as if you were tuned into a radio in 1939.
Wow.
But it's not a very radio-friendly album, unfortunately, because it's a long narrative.
A lot of talking.
It's a full hour.
Well, sure.
Yeah, and narrative. And I invented a character to tell the story and all that kind of thing. But one of the songs that seemed so perfect for it was this old Yip Harburg and Jay Gorney composition called Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? It's one that we've all heard so many times. And we always say that, you know, it's there are people in difficulty, and it's kind of good to, you know, connect a little bit with that, the spirit of that song, which is kind of to draw upon. People always talk about the Depression as a time when people pulled together. And so, let's do a little bit of that. Yeah.
Oh, whoops. Can you give me a
2, 3? Once I built a railroad and made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and mortar and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done, brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki boots, gee, it looks swell, filled with that Yankee doodle-dong. 50,000 boots went slogging through hell, and I was the kid on the drum. Say, don't you remember, they called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember, I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Say, don't you remember, they called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember, I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Say, don't you remember, I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Song coming out of the Depression, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
It's rich, rich old changes.
It's one of the great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Classic song. Yeah.
The chords in that song are wonderful. Lots you can do.
Loved it. And, you know, Yip Harburger was the fellow who wrote the lyrics to all the Wizard of Oz songs, Somewhere Over a Rainbow and all those. And brilliant guy, wonderful guy, great storyteller.
That's a neat arrangement.
kind of close-y. But there's a lot of energy in that song, too.
I don't think it's ever been played on the concertina before.
No. But it's got that wonderful, you know, that Eastern European minor, major throbbing energy. And so it's a great, great song to sing.
Yeah, it really is. Well, not only do you play and do concerts and things like that, but you also do songwriting workshops and you do all kinds of other things kind of behind the scenes.
Kind of. We've done a little bit of work in the industry, as they say, you know, writing songs for things. But really, I think mostly we've settled on this touring pattern, which takes us to the south in the winter and to the west. We go out west.
That's a lovely pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of.
We're not entirely stupid. We live in Vermont.
Yeah.
Which is lovely a lot of the time.
And we, we'll do a workshop up in Vermont in the fall, in October each year. But then we go out west in the spring when Vermont is a little cold. And we'll go to Santa Cruz to do a workshop that we've done now for – this will be our 12th year. And a really nice group of people. A lot of them are repeats and they get to know each other. And
I think they would do it even if we didn't show up.
Yeah, I kind of hope that will be
wonderful.
The case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we love to work with songwriters. And at Kerrville too. I would say the Kerrville Folk Festival is a place where I have done a songwriting workshop there every day of the festival for the last 15 years. Every day at 5:30, I gather this little group of people.
Didn't you write a book on songwriting?
Oh, that. Thank you for mentioning
it. By the way.
Thank you, dear. Sing Out magazine allowed me to – or published a book that I wrote called Songwriting and the Creative Process. I'm very proud of it. Had a lot of help from the Sing Out magazine. I include a lot of their articles called Courting the Muse. So people like Tom Paxton and Judy Collins and Michael Smith and – a lot of Graham Nash, a lot of people contributed to it. So
yeah, that's a great publication.
Yeah, yeah. Sing Out has been there for us. Such a good thing.
Yeah, that it has. I have to ask about one song that I thought for the longest time was a traditional song, and you know which one I'm going to ask about because I was one of the many that learned to play it and sing it, and that's Darcy Farrow.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. It's a song that my friend Tom Campbell and I wrote together a long time ago. We just celebrated 50 years. Actually, it was 1964. Came out of an incident that happened to my little sister, whose name is Darcy. And I always tell people my sister Darcy's fine. She's alive and well, doing just great.
Glad to hear that.
But in the song, we do bump her off, you know, as they say. But it all kind of a Romeo and Juliet star-crossed lovers kind of story and a tragic thing. But it came out of an incident that happened to Darcy. She was kicked by her horse and broke her cheekbone, gave her a pretty good concussion. And I always say that she's just fine. She has no lasting effects from that episode at all, except for the song, which has kind of hung around. But it's been sung by so many people over the years.
Oh, it's been covered by a lot of people. John Denver, I think, is maybe where I first heard it.
Probably the best-known version, too. Yeah. And that's what really put it on the map, I think. We owe him a lot. He had the good sense to put it on an album that was with Rocky Mountain High, sold 4 million copies. So we'll always be grateful to him for that.
We're amazed by it, really. I mean, you just never know where a song's going to go.
Yeah, it just has you get your imagination going. You can sort of see the story unfolding.
And the life of its own.
People have written to us who go and look for her grave, you know, and then Steve has to say, I'm sorry. We made it up.
Yeah.
Oh, and the music, of course. The music is wonderful for that.
Well, that's kind of, we always say we weren't really trying to write a counterfeit folk song, but it was a time when, like, we were strongly influenced by people like Ian and Sylvia, people who were taking, Joan Baez, taking traditional materials and then kind of pulling them together, as Cindy does, pulling together their own version and bringing it into a more contemporary time.
Yep.
And also, yeah, so many aspects to it in that era, too. We were all young people just sort of first time being confronted by things like, you know, the darker issues. And so,
yeah, there were quite a few then.
It was a way of coping, I think. Yeah.
And still are. Well, and that still is happening. It was nice to see, I think it was Anais Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer had just put out a CD of all, you know, all child ballads.
Wonderful
I know.
Absolutely.
In some really creative ways.
They really did their homework. They're
I sing one in most concerts just because sometimes there's some, you know, 12-year-old who's never heard this before and is taken by it.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yep.
Well, also, I think a lot of us grew up in a time when the media was a little bit kind of sanitized, a little bit, you know, kind of the Eisenhower era, you know, a little bit. So we didn't – it was like when I first heard Joan Baez do things like Silver Dagger or, you know, some of the traditional things, it opened a door to a lot of mythical and archetypal kinds of issues. Yeah.
Yes, violent images and intense things. And
yeah, they weren't shy about talking about anything.
A lot of sexual issues these have been for centuries sung about.
Yeah. And it always comes home to me that folk music really is the music that people created out of their own life experience. And it's, I always say that the line that, you know, the breaking point is between music that people created for their own use and their own stories and stuff that was created for money or corporate or marketed. And it's such a – that demarcation seems mm-hmm. more and more apparent or clear.
Yeah, it's clear. I think mm-hmm. it is. And we're lucky here in Wisconsin anyway to be able to share the ones that are on the folk side of the line.
Yeah. It's a great resource. People don't realize it because it's maybe a little less heralded than the big star kind of thing. And mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. but we value that a lot. And of course, in our case,
it won't go away, though. I used to worry about it going away, but it
no,
won't.
I don't worry no. about it. I was going to say, in our case, we're immune to the big star syndrome because we're not. So we're free. We're free to try.
Much better life, really.
Oh,
oh
I wouldn't
gosh.
Say that. You're very popular with Simply Folk listeners for sure.
Well,
you know, we
so
do
nice
our monthly request show
nice
and we always
hear.
Have requests. So
oh, nice.
We have time for about one more song. What would you like to finish up
well,
with?
We had one in mind that I think is always one that we like to end up the night with sometimes in concerts. It's a song called Home by Dark. And again, talk about all the various mythical and archetypal associations that might be connected with that. I started out singing about my own childhood and about that old rule of you know, you could out and roam yep. and play and nobody thought a thing about it as long as you were home by dark. So that's what it's called. But of course, it has all those other levels of understanding. Just make sure I'm in tune. It's good to leave people in tune, you know. Home by dark. My first two-wheeler was old when I got it. It was newfound freedom. It was red on black. Those big wide tires would slide on the gravel when I'd ride along the railroad track. Straight downhill on Skyline Road. No hands, no brakes. I was lucky, I know. But the wind was singing in my ear. And I never look back. Just be home by dark. There'll be time enough tomorrow. There's a place where they know you and love you for who you are. When there's color in the sky and the street lights are coming on, take the corner like a stolen base and be home by dark. Now that I've got a daughter and a son, I get to figure out how it's done. But the clock is cruel, the boss is anxious, little pictures have great big ears. We worry that we can't provide all the things that this life requires. But somehow just being in that circle vanishes all my fears. And I'll be home by dark. There'll be time enough tomorrow. There's a place where they know you and love you for who you are. When there's color in the sky and the street lights are coming on, I'll finish up working, be home by dark. So many people in this hungry world travel that journey alone. What I would wish for everyone is just what I want for my own. To be home by dark. And time enough tomorrow. A place where they know you and love you for who you are. When there's color in the sky and the street lights are coming on, tomorrow is another day. Sunlight fades away.
There's always that longing to be home by dark.
Home by dark. Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson. And that, by the way, is the title track from one of your recent CDs. In fact, the first song you started with was from that CD,
yeah,
Home
right.
by Dark. Well, both of you, thank you so much for sharing your time and your talent with Wisconsin
thank
Public
you,
Radio listeners. We really appreciate
well, thank you
it.
For playing us all
it's
these
great.
Years.
Oh,
it's really wonderful.
It's
thank
a,
you so much.
A great fit in what we heard today, you know, some traditional and some originals and some covers.
Yeah.
That's really a sort of a microcosm of what we do on Simply Folk. So it's just been yeah. just been terrific.
Thank you so much for having us. And for
well, we
and Joe,
always feel like Vermont and Wisconsin are very simpatico places.
I agree. I agree. And for folks that want to find out more about you and your music, the website is Compass Rose Music. Is that right?
That's right. That's or just look for Steve Gillette or Cindy Mangson.
The Google knows
you can,
where to find us.
That's right. It sure does.
The Google knows.
And there's a link on our webpage to the Simply Folk page. So
yeah.
thanks again.
Thank you,
Stephanie. So nice to be with you.